It's good to see you this morning. Let's take our Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 12. Proverbs, chapter 12. I would like for us to consider one verse this morning, as we often do in the book of Proverbs, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 23 says this: a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Let's pray together. Our Father, we are indeed thankful. Lord, not as we ought to be, not as we shall be. Lord, in the strugglings of our very nature, we come this morning trying to be thankful, trying to hear, trying to worship. Would you help us? Lord, would you bless this word to our hearts and cause us to see? Teach us by your Spirit. And Lord, I ask you today, as you taught your disciples, saying, "Thy kingdom come." Lord, I pray, would you bless this message today to the salvation of your people? Would you call sinners out of darkness? Lord, would you save the lost? Have mercy, we pray, for Christ's sake. Amen. Prudent. That's what this scripture says. A prudent man. I looked up the word prudent just to see. Mr. Webster says that the word prudent means discreet, cautious. But the scriptures reveal scripturally what prudence really means. It means, according to Proverbs 16:21, the wise in heart shall be called prudent. So a prudent man is a wise man. One made wise unto salvation. One regenerated by the grace and the power of Almighty God. Wise man. Man by nature is not wise in himself. He just is ignorant. And we need to be taught. We're here this morning that God would teach us and show us of himself. A prudent man, one that's wise, is a man that knows that salvation is all of grace. He knows that a little leaven leavens the whole lump. Men can talk of grace. They can speak of salvation by the grace of God. And all of those things sounds really good. Until he says, but all you have to do, and whatever he's getting ready to say is going to negate everything else he said. A little leaven, whole lump. A prudent man is one that knows that he's been released from the grip and the power of sin. Not the presence of it, but the power of it. The ability to cast him into hell under the judgment of God. He knows that God Almighty has had mercy shown him. Grace redeemed him. Grace called him. Grace kept him. And he knows it. He's a prudent man, a wise man. And he trusts in nothing. All confidences that he had in the flesh, he just He'll turn from them. And I once believed that, but I don't believe that anymore. I once held to all of my stuff, my works, but not anymore. A man or woman that God calls out of darkness, God Almighty teaches them, they have no confidence whatsoever in the flesh. And I'll tell you, a prudent man, one called out by God's grace, he wants others to know it too. He wants men to know what the Lord's done for him. That's our Lord's command. Remember when the Lord called out that the demoniac of the Gadarenes, and the demoniac wanted to go with the Lord. And the Lord told him, he said, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and has had compassion on thee. Tell those what the Lord's done for you. Well, we would be disobedient in not telling men of the unsearchable riches of the grace of God. We want people to know. I do understand, as I've said before, I understand how men will say, they'll say, you know, you people that preach sovereign grace, you make everything so narrow and you're trying to exclude people. No. No, we're not trying to exclude anybody. I've heard them tell me, they've told me, you don't believe in whosoever will. And I said, oh, yes, I will. Yes, I do. But no man will. That's the problem. Unless the Almighty God makes them willing in the day of His power, no man will. The Lord must do. But I do know this. This is the only message. The message that honors God's purpose and God's will. That's the only message that God's going to bless. Does God bless any other message than the message of sovereign grace? No. No. We have the Lord's word on that. If any man preach any other gospel, Paul said, than that which we proclaimed unto you, let him be accursed. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, the power of God and salvation. Now we're going to believe God. We're going to preach the Lord's message. He told His disciples, Matthew 28:19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Now the Lord has a people that He's going to save. We know He's going to call them out of darkness. And I truly, as in our opening prayer together, I pray the Lord is pleased to call out of darkness sinners. I know that He's going to. But oh, I go back to that scripture in Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Of all those promises that the Lord gave, I made mention of that this morning, that little bulletin. He said, yet for all these things I'll be inquiring. Ask the Lord to have mercy. It's the right thing to do. Ask Him to save your kids. Ask Him to save your neighbors. Ask Him. Who knows? He may be pleased to. We don't believe that our prayer changes God. God doesn't change. But He has ordained means. You say, well, I don't know what I can do. You can ask. You can knock. You can seek. Who knows? The Lord may be pleased. Now, knowing that the Lord God is not the author of confusion, and knowing that this passage concerning all these things that we just looked at a minute ago, going to all the world and preach the gospel, go home and tell your neighbors what great things the Lord has done for you. Tell them. It would appear as though when we first looked at this scripture right here, that this is almost contradictory to what we just considered. A prudent man concealeth. A wise man, one taught God, one called out of darkness, a prudent man. I wanted to establish what is a prudent man. A wise man, a regenerated man. But a prudent man concealeth knowledge. Is there a time to be silent? Ecclesiastes 3:7 says there is. So there's a time to keep silence and a time to speak. This glorious truth, I know first of all, is set forth perfectly by the Father Himself. The Lord Jesus Christ, Matthew 11:25, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Almighty God is distinguishing in His grace. He's distinguishing in His knowledge. And obviously from the prayer of our blessed Lord and Savior, the Father hides things from those that think themselves to be wise and prudent, and reveals them in mercy unto those that are babes, made to see their helplessness. We know that the judge of all the earth is going to do right. I know that He's not obligated to give account of His will to anyone. He does as He will in the army of heaven, and among the inhabitants of the earth, no man stays His hand. I know that. I know this, the Father, according to our blessed Savior in His prayer, hides things. And He does so in absolute wisdom, in absolute justice, absolute. How about the Lord Jesus Christ among the numerous times that the Scripture reveals our Lord to be silent? Probably none was more memorable. No time was more memorable than when He stood before Pilate. The Scripture says, Matthew 27:11-14, Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked Him, saying, Art thou the King of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. And when He was accused of the chief priests and elders, He answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto Him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And He answered him never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. That silence right there was prophesied by Isaiah 53, as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. All of the hope, all of the peace, all of the satisfaction of God's absolute justice before God's law hinged on him being silent. He would not release himself. He was there by divine appointment. He humbled himself. He made himself of no reputation. Placed himself in the hands of wicked men, and they crucified him. And they accomplished exactly what Almighty God had perfectly set forth before the foundation of the world and the redemption of His people. I know the Father's silent. I know that the Lord Jesus Christ was silent. But now I want to consider, how does this passage of Scripture, how does this deal with me? Because it's talking about men. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. How is it that it is right for a believer to find times of being silent? Now, I know that Solomon, I just read it, Ecclesiastes, it's a time to be silent, it's a time to speak. And may the Lord teach us. I'm asking you right now. You ask the Lord to speak to you. I pray He'd speak to me because I want to know. I mean, I can read. I know that there's a time to be quiet and a time to talk. I know that. And I want to consider a few passages of Scripture. And let me just tell you right now that while I'm considering a few passages of Scripture, I'm going to come to the conclusion of a time to be silent, and we will see in our being silent submissiveness to our Lord, God Almighty honoring Himself, and us believing God. Now let's look at a few right here. We'll just take a few minutes. When our Lord cleansed the leper, Matthew 8:4, this is what our Lord said to him: "See, thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Now, I'm not going to go into those passages right now. We'll deal with them, Lord willing, later. But I want to read some, just read them. I want to consider something in just a minute. I'm trying to build a foundation here, trying to work up something. Our Lord instructed two blind men that He healed in Matthew 9, verse 30. He said, "See that no man know it." He wisely told them, quiet. Matthew 12:16, the Lord was followed by a great multitude that He had healed. He charged them that they should not make Him known. There was time, according to our Lord's wisdom, when He instructed people, He said, be quiet. Just hold your peace. Now, though we freely preach Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified has been set forth, I truly believe all these many years, our dear Pastor Brother Scott, men that God, like him, called out of darkness, it is the right thing to do to stand in the pulpit where Almighty God has raised up the gospel of free grace and proclaim men to be in themselves dead in trespasses and sins and ruined by the fall, and that regeneration is only by God's Spirit, redemption by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are not silent when we preach that. We set forth Christ and Him crucified. It is right. This is the only, as we said a moment ago, this is the only message that God's going to bless to the salvation of His elect and the comfort and the settling of His people. This message alone that honors the Lord is what we preach. There's no other message. Though we freely publish the surety of regeneration by God's Spirit, though we know that He alone powerfully keeps His own, this scripture right here that we cannot get past till we deal with it: "A prudent man concealeth knowledge." When should we obediently be slow to speak and slow to wrath? When? Proverbs 10:19 says, "He that refraineth his lips is wise." The Lord Jesus Christ teaches each of His regenerated sheep that they will be found at times to wisely, reverently, silently wait on the Lord. Be still the scripture says, and know that I am God. There's times when silence is the right thing to do. The Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him. Reverently. Lord, when are those times? Lord, help me right here. Help me. Teach me of Yourself. There's times when we're instructed to deal with those who oppose our Lord and Savior and the gospel of His grace. Matthew 7, verse 6. Give not that which is holy unto dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. Oh, how much wisdom do we need to know when to speak, know when to be silent. Our Lord sets forth that there are times, and I've had this happen to me a few times, when someone would tell me, don't bring that up to me anymore. I don't want to hear what you're saying ever again. Don't ever speak to me about that again. And my heart absolutely breaks. My Lord and my God, do you realize what you're saying? Do you realize who you have refused? And there are times when I know that the Lord Himself says, if they will not hear you, shake the dust off your feet and leave. And I'll tell you that there has been times that some that have said those very words now have left this world. And as soon as I heard it, I thought, oh my. Lord, you do that which is right in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. Lord, help us. When it becomes apparent that men will not hear, and they tell you to your face, don't bring that up to me again, ever. Acts 13, you turn there if you want to, Acts 13, 44, the Apostle Paul. Even right now, as I'm thinking on this very thing right here, I think of myself, you oppose yourself, you don't realize what you're saying. Acts 13, 44, the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. And when the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and blaspheming. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Listen to me. It is the most sobering thing when men hear the gospel of God's grace and find themselves with such boldness and such arrogance to tell someone who is telling them the only thing that will ever help them, I will not hear you anymore. Don't ever bring that up to me again. I know that we should conceal knowledge when the revealing of such unnecessary knowledge would be a hindrance to to others and a disturbance of the peace and harmony of God's church. Proverbs 17:9 says, "He that covereth the transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends." Here's a time right here when I can understand. A prudent, a wise man conceals knowledge. Cover others' faults. We are but sinners, saved by the grace of God. And what can we do but defend one another? Pray for one another. There's times that we'll find that a disciplined tongue is the best thing in the world. Repeating a matter, what does that really accomplish? The heart, I'm going to say this, and I'm coming back after I read this last part right here. The heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. There's times when men will. I'm talking about to just lift themselves up, put others down. They want to try to impress other people. They like to hear themselves talk. They want to get stuff stirred up. It's not hard for me to understand that the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. I can talk about the preaching of a false gospel. I can talk about repeating a matter. I can talk. There's so many things that I can repeat. I understand that part. But the part that I want to finish up on, and here is the sum of everything that I've said so far. I have no problem understanding that the Father would hide these things from the wise and prudent. I have no problem understanding that. That's God Almighty. He does as He will. And I bow to that. Men might say, I don't think that's fair. If the Lord delivers you from that thought, I thank God for it. I have no problem understanding the Lord Jesus Christ that would be silent. I have no problem understanding that there's times when men oppose themselves. I understand. I have no problem understanding. But it comes to a point now with me where I would like to know right now, Lord, would you teach me right now if there are those that have not told me, don't ever say that again to me. If there's those that have not come to me and said that, when is it right for me to be silent? Because I know for a fact that Almighty God has set forth that wisdom is exhibited in being silent, concealing knowledge. Lord, help us here. In Hosea 4:17, let me just read this to you. And this scripture appears as though, when it's first read, to be hard. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to read it, and then I'm going to set forth, by the grace of God, the mercy of Almighty God. Listen to Hosea 4:17. Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Leave him alone. That passage appears to be so hard against those that oppose themselves. But an understanding of that verse finds the indescribable mercy of Almighty God to be set forth. Let him alone. Let him alone. Let him alone. Lord, what do you mean? Ephraim joined the idols. Let him alone. Let him alone means don't confederate with him. Don't confederate with him. Don't give Ephraim. Don't give anyone the idea that opposes the gospel of God's grace. Don't give them the idea that you agree with. And you're going to find that almost without exception, the best way to let someone know that you don't agree is just don't say anything. Silence. Someone comes up, says something, and you don't agree with them, your silence, you'll find often, speaks more than you could have ever said out loud. Concealing knowledge, in this case, and wisely do we ask the Lord to give us some instruction. Concealing knowledge is actually to trust the Lord. I want to read something for you concerning Ephraim. Ephraim joined the idols, and every man, every woman outside of the regenerating grace of God is to them. Jeremiah 31. We preach the gospel of God's grace. We set forth the truth. Listen to these scriptures. Jeremiah 31:18. I have surely heard Ephraim bemoaning himself thus. Thou hast chastened me. I was chastened as a bullock unaccustomed to the yoke. Turn thou me, and I shall be turned, for thou art the Lord my God. Surely after that I was turned, I repented. After that I was instructed, I smote upon my thigh. I was ashamed, yea, even confounded, because I did bear the reproach of my youth. Is Ephraim my dear son? Is he a pleasant child? For since I spake against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore my vows are troubled for him, and I will surely have mercy on him, saith the Lord. Yeah, the heart of a fool proclaims foolishness. Man, because they know not the Lord, join hand in hand. But a prudent man is not one that's going to sit here and argue. I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to fight with you. I'm not going to get hand-in-hand battle against you. Nobody has ever been converted fighting with them. The love of Christ constrains us. The gospel of God's grace constrains us. Fighting and arguing is not going to draw men out of darkness. The proclamation of the gospel. Men oppose themselves. But when you find those that oppose the gospel that you preach, don't argue with them. Tell them the truth. Preach Christ. Your silence, meaning not to agree with that which is contrary to grace, exhibits a heart that's settled by the Lord Jesus Christ. Be still. Be still. No. We're not running around here warring, fighting, battling. Oh, the battle is spiritual. But it's fought in the proclamation of the gospel. Speak to tell the truth. Don't ever, ever be silent on that. When it says that prudence concealeth knowledge, not when it comes to preaching Christ, but be silent in not agreeing with error. Be silent. And in your silence, you trust Almighty God to do what the Lord Himself can do. Do you realize the wisdom that it takes to not sit here and fight with somebody? I mean to fight with them, argue with them, and tell them how foolish they are. I know how foolish they are. We have a nature just like that. But to wait on the Lord, trust God. A prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaiming foolishness. Wait on the Lord. See the salvation of your God. Tell men the truth. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, not your arguing. Be quiet. Don't give them the idea you agree with them. I've heard men say, and I'll leave this with just a little instruction. I've heard some say, well, I'll go to your church, and then you come to mine. Don't go. Don't go. You say, well, if I don't go to theirs, they won't come to mine. You ask the Lord about it. If God's going to show mercy to them, they'll come. But don't you give them the idea that you agree with them. Don't give them. It'll profit nothing. May the Lord bless these words to our heart and give us instruction and wisdom when to speak and when to be silent, for Christ's sake.